First day back at school. The sky heavy with monsoon clouds. The schoolyard clustered with students within striding distance of shelter. The kikar trees planted along the boundary wall, or the neem tree partway up the path from gate to school building. The many bougainvillea-framed doorways carved into the building's yellow stone facade. The area of the playing field beneath the jutting balconies on the first and second floors. Only a few boys, with daring to prove, roamed the most exposed parts of the yard, shirt sleeves rolled up, hands in pockets. Zahra, standing beside the archway that housed the brass bell, was using her height to look over the heads of all the girls and most of the boys, searching. The school day hadn't officially started yet, but students in grey and white uniforms were already resettling into their formations from the previous term. The cool kids, the thuggish boys, the couples, the judgmental girls, the invisible boys. Zahra had invented these categories after watching a string of teen-centred Hollywood movies on pirated videos, but it did little to make up for the inadequacy of Karachi school life. Without detention, how could there be the breakfast club? Without a school prom, how could there be Pretty in Pink? Without the freedom required to make truancy possible, how could there be Ferris Bueller's Day Off? But the one area where the failure was that of the movies, not of Karachi, was when it came to friendship. It was almost always a subplot to romance, never the heart of a story. Except the outsiders. But that was boys, which meant it was really about how girls caused trouble and led to fights and burning buildings and death. From where she stood, Zahra had a clear view of the school gate. For most of the day, buses and rickshaws and vans and other aging vehicles clogged up the streets of Sadar, perhaps heading to Empress Market or the electronics stores that populated the area. But twice a weekday, sleek, air-conditioned cars joined in the melee to ferry students to and from the most prestigious of Karachi schools. There she was. The Mercedes, sleekest of sleeks, drove right up to the gate, and Mariam stepped out and walked into the school grounds. A different Mariam, a different walk. The plumpness that had been on her face seemed to have descended elsewhere over the course of the summer, though it was hard to know exactly what was going on beneath the sack-like grey chemise she was wearing. Mariam stopped to say something to one of the older boys, and as they were talking, tugged at her chemise with what was clearly meant to be an absent-minded air. The fabric pulled taut over new breasts. A new waist. The older boy kept on speaking to her as though nothing had happened, but when she walked past him, heading to Zahra, he turned to observe her all the way down the length of the path. Other things had changed too. The wavy, shoulder-length hair was artfully tousled rather than wild. The messy eyebrows reshaped into two curved lines. But the smile was the same old Mariam smile that greeted Zahra every time Mariam returned from her family's summer trips to London. And her outstretched hand held a cassette that was always her belated birthday present to her best friend, a mixtape that she had recorded off the radio with the best of the London charts. "Do you see what's happened to me?" she said. "Is it your mother or your tailor who's having difficulty accepting it?" Zahra said, gesturing to the chemise. "Hard to say. Master Sahib stitches what he thinks my mother wants. Mother says he's easily offended. We can't go back and say it's all wrong or he'll stop doing our clothes and he's the only one to get my sari blouses right." Adulthood is so complicated. They smiled at each other, confident of the futures ahead of them in which they'd never face such petty dilemmas. They had barely moved on to swapping notes about the summer apart when Saba approached, with that smile of hers, as if she was holding some forbidden delight in her mouth that she was willing neither to swallow nor to reveal. They knew all of each other's smiles, the three girls. At 14, they were 10 years into what might loosely be called friendship, though Zahra had once looked up from a dictionary to inform Maryam that what the two of them had with each other was friendship, and what they had with the other 6 girls and 22 boys in class was merely propinquity, a relationship based on physical proximity. If you moved to Alaska tomorrow, we'd still be best friends for the rest of our lives, she had told Maryam, who was the only person in the world towards whom Zahra displayed extravagant feelings.